Now let us go back to page 131. There is a list of types of consciousness. I wonder, any one of you add them up and get the correct result. You know, 46 types of consciousness arise in the I-door. The 46 chetas are as follows. 1, 5-door advaiting consciousness, 2 eye consciousnesses, 3 investigation consciousnesses, 1 determining consciousness, 29 sense via jhavanas, 8 registration. Only 44. So two chetas are missing, right?
Yeah.
So after 2 eye consciousnesses, you add 2 receiving consciousnesses. Today we come to the analysis by objects. So there are 6 kinds of objects. And you all know these 6 kinds. So the first one is visible object, the second one audible object, the third one separate object, the fourth one the third one is odorous object, the fourth one separate object, and the fifth one tangible object. Or in other words, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And touch is just the combination of 3 essential elements. Earth element, wind element, fire element, and wind element. And then the last one is Dhamma object. And there are 6 kinds of Dhamma objects. Right? What is one? 5 sensitivities. Eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, and so on. And then subtle matter, 16 subtle matter. And 3 chetas. 4 chetasikas. And 5 nibbana, right? And 6 concepts, panyati. So these 6 kinds of objects are collectively called Dhamma object. Now, classification by way of doors, page 136. How many chetas arise through eye door? 46, right? Yeah. So all types of consciousness that arise through eye door take the visible object as object. So visible object is taken by not only eye consciousness, but also by other types of consciousness arising in that thought process. Now, please visualize that the diagram of thought process. 5 sense door adverting, and then seeing consciousness, and then receiving, investigating, determining, and then jhavanas, and the dharamanas. All these chetas take the visible object as object. So we see with eye consciousness, but we take visible object with other types of consciousness as well. So the object of the eye consciousness thought process is the visible object or sight. And that visible object is present. So, eye consciousness takes present visible object as object. Now, when you look at the diagram I made, in the diagram, the object is also shown. So, the visible object is always there so long as there are moments of consciousness in that diagram. So that means the visible object is present, or it has arisen and it is existing when that thought process arises. So the all types of consciousness that arise through eye door take present visible object as object. The same with all types of consciousness that arise through ear door take audible object or sound which is present. So present audible object or sound as object. And all types of consciousness that arise through nose door take smell or present odorous object as object. And all types of consciousness that arise through what door? Tongue door take present taste or sabid object as object. And all types of consciousness that arise through body door take present tangible object or present touch as object. So the object of these chedas that arise through five sense doors is always present. If they are past or if they are future, they are taken by not this thought process, but by mind or thought process. Then there are types of consciousness that arise through mind or, right? How many of them are there? Huh? 67. So these types of consciousness take all six kinds of objects. So that means they take sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and also the Dhamma objects. So these types of consciousness take six kinds of objects. And these can be present or past or future, and also time-free, independent of time. So mind or thought process or types of consciousness that arise through mind or thought process can take actually all objects. It can take six kinds of objects, and these six kinds of objects and can belong to three times, and also they can belong to no time at all. And then there are door-free types of consciousness. What are the door-free types of consciousness? Two, investigating, eight, sensuya vipaka, right? Sensuya resultant, five, form sphere resultant, and four, formless sphere resultant. So these 19 chetas have the function of what? How many functions? Three functions, right? Relinking, bhavanga, and death or chuti. Now these types of consciousness, when they arise independent of doors, take actually six kinds of objects. And they can be either present or past. And it is said that there is no future. And then they can be concepts also. Now these types of objects, when they are presented to these 19 types of consciousness, are either kamma or kamma nimitta or gati nimitta. Kamma means kamma which is past. Kamma nimitta means something associated with that kamma and some instrument used when performing that kamma. And gati nimitta means sign of destiny. That means some symbols or signs of the existence where he is going to be reborn. So these three are technically called, the first one is kamma, the second one kamma nimitta, and the third one gati nimitta. You can find this and these on page 138. Now kamma nimitta and gati nimitta are actually six kinds of objects, but here with regard to 19 types of consciousness, they are technically called kamma or kamma nimitta or gati nimitta. So kamma nimitta means the sign of kamma, and gati nimitta means sign of destiny. That means sign of, or the symbol of a realm into which the dying person is about to be reborn. So we will study this again at the end of fifth chapter, in the last section of fifth chapter. So kamma means kusala or akusala kamma performed in the past. And kamma nimitta or sign of kamma means an object or image associated with a good or evil deed that is about to determine rebirth, or an instrument used to perform it. For example, a devout person may see the image of a monk or temple. A physician may see the image of patients. A butcher may hear the groans of slaughtered cattle or see an image of a butcher knife. So these are called kamma nimitta. And then gati nimitta means the sign of the realm into which, say, a dying person is to be reborn. So if a person is going to be reborn in the celestial world or the heavenly rebirth, then he may see celestial mansions or celestial nymphs. And if a person is about to be reborn as an animal, then he may see forests or fields. And if a person is going to be reborn in hell, and he may see hellfire or dogs running after him and so on. So these are called signs of destiny. So one of these three presents itself to the mind of a person who is about to die. Either kamma or sign of kamma or sign of destiny. Now, with regard to these door-free types of consciousness, I just said in the manual that the object is sixfold. So there are six kinds of objects, and according to the situation, that object has usually been apprehended in one of the six doors in the immediately preceding existence, as either a present or past object, or as a concept. Now, let's consider dying thought process. You don't have the diagram for dying thought process. Then thought process goes something like this. Let's say, past Bhavanga, vibrating Bhavanga, arrested Bhavanga, and then five sense door adverting, seeing consciousness, receiving, investigating, determining, and then five moments of jhavanas. Because the person is at the time too weak, and so and the jhavanas arise only five times. And after the jhavanas, there may be registering, or there may be not. Immediately after jhavanas or registering, or immediately after bhavangas, death occurs. So that one chitta arises, which is called chuti chitta, death consciousness. Immediately after that, death consciousness arises rebirth consciousness. So there is no gap of time between death in one life and rebirth in another life. However distant the places may be, there is no gap of time between death consciousness and rebirth consciousness. Say, a man will die here and say maybe reborn in Asia. So even in that case, the death consciousness is immediately followed by relinking or rebirth consciousness. Now, death consciousness is actually the same as bhavanga consciousness and rebirth consciousness, right? In one given life, rebirth consciousness, bhavanga consciousness, and death consciousness are the same, of the same type. Then, immediately following the death consciousness is rebirth consciousness. Okay, now, what is the object of rebirth consciousness? It is said that rebirth consciousness takes the object taken by the jhavanas in the dying thought process. So those jhavanas can be either five sense door jhavanas or mind door jhavanas. But whatever they are, the rebirth consciousness takes the object taken by the jhavanas in the dying thought process. So in the manual, it is said, according to the situation, that object has usually been apprehended in one of the six doors in the immediately preceding existence. So that means just that. That means the object which rebirth consciousness takes is the object which was taken by the jhavanas in the dying thought process, previous dying thought process. And those objects can be either present or past or a concept. Now, there is a word in Pali, yebun yena, and in English, according to the situation. Now, what that means is there are beings who are said to have no mind. There are mindless beings. So mindless beings are those who get the fifth jhana in the life of a human being or in the life as a deva, and then they develop a special kind of that fifth jhana, and as a result of that, they are reborn as mindless beings. And then, although they are mindless, one day they have to die. So after their death, there must come rebirth consciousness. In that case, the rebirth consciousness after the life of a mindless being cannot take the object which has been taken by jhavanas in the previous life, simply because there are no jhavanas or no mental activities whatsoever in the life of those mindless beings. So that is why it is said according to situation. In that case, the rebirth consciousness takes the object presented by one of powerful past karmas. Now, if you don't understand quite clearly, don't be depressed. We will study them again in the last section of the fifth chapter. But here, just note that the object of the door-free types of consciousness are six kinds of objects. That means sight, sound, and so on. And they can be either past or present. And they are the ones that are taken by the jhavanas in the previous death thought process. And these objects are technically called kamma or kamma nimitta or gati nimitta. Kamma or sign of kamma or destiny of, sign of destiny. So either one of them becomes the object of rebirth consciousness. And they can be concepts also. Okay, now, I think you look at the chart on page 141. Now we'll find out which consciousness take which object. So, I consciousness, there are two I consciousnesses. One is the result of wholesome karma and the other result of unwholesome karma. These two types of consciousness take what as object? Present visible form or present visible object. And two ear consciousnesses take present sound as object. Two nose consciousnesses take present smell. Two tongue consciousnesses take present taste. And two body consciousnesses take present tangible object as object. That's easy. Now, what is the next one? Mind element. The Pali word for mind element is manodhadu. Now, manodhadu is a name of two sampatichana, receiving consciousnesses, and one panchadwara vajana. So these three types of consciousnesses are collectively called manodhadu or mind element. So later on, if we want to refer to these types of consciousness collectively, we will use this word, manodhadu or mind element. So when we say mind element, please understand that it means three types of consciousness. What are the three? Two receiving consciousness and one five-sense door adverting. So these three are called, you point them out there, manodhadu. Yeah, panchadwara vajana and sampatichana. So these three types of consciousness that are called mind element take present five objects as object. Now here, they take present five objects means one at a time, not five objects at a time. Now, if you remember the thought process, see, in the idea thought process, seeing thought process, there are investigating, there are five sense door adverting and receiving, right? And similarly, in the hearing thought process, smelling thought process, tasting thought process, and touching thought process, they arise. Panchadwara Vajana and Sampadichana. So they take not present visible object only, not present sound only, and so on, but they take all five. That means they can take all five kinds of objects, but not at one time. So at different times. And they are, the time of their objects is also present. So they take present objects as objects. Now the next box, investigating three, smile producing one, sense fear, what's that? Beautiful result, eight. Now first, three investigating, three Santirana Chedas. Now you may look at the chart. Three Santirana Chedas, one smile producing Hasita Upada, and eight Kama Vajra Vipakas. How many altogether? 12. So these 12 take what as object? Sense Via Cheta, 54. All 54 Kama Vajra Chetas and 52 Chetasikas and 28 Rubas. Right. So, three investigating, one smiling, and then eight Kama Vajra Vipakas, right? Now, among the three investigating consciousnesses, there are two that are accompanied by Upekha, right? They have the function of what? How many functions do they have? Five, right? But it's relinking Bhavanga, death, investigating, and registering. So, when they do the function of registering, they take some objects, and smiling consciousness also takes some other objects. But their objects are always what? Kama Vajra. Kama Vajra, 54 Kama Vajra Chetas, 52 Chetasikas, and 28 Rubas. Okay, next group, let us go to. Unwholesome consciousness, 12 unwholesome consciousness, and then sense fear, beautiful consciousness dissociated from knowledge. That means jnana vipayuta. There are how many? Four. And then functional consciousness also? Four. Altogether, 20. So please point them out. 12 akusala chetas, and then 4 kama vajra sobhana kusala jnana vipayuta. And then kama vajra sobhana kiriya jnana vipayuta. Yeah. So 12 plus 4 plus 4, 20. These 20 types of consciousness take mundane chitta 81 lokiya chittas, 52 chetasikas, 28 rupas, and concepts, panyatis. Now, unwholesome chittas, akusala chittas. Akusala chetas cannot take lokudra things as object. So, they take only that are lokiya, that pertain to mundane only. Now, in the manual, on page 141, the nine supramundane states, the four paths, four fruits, and nirvana, because of their extreme purity and profundity, cannot be apprehended by any unwholesome chetas. That means unwholesome chetas cannot take Lokottara chetas and nirvana as object because they are so pure and so profound. And also they cannot be taken by chetas that are not accompanied by knowledge. In order to take Lokottara chetta and nirvana as object, the consciousness must be accompanied by panya or knowledge. So those that are not accompanied by panya or knowledge, either kusala or kriya, cannot take supramundane things as object. So they take only mundane objects. And mundane objects are 81 mundane chetas, 52 chetasikas, 28 rupas, and concepts. Okay. The putujanas and sekhas cannot know the path and fruition consciousness of an arahant, since they have not attained these states themselves. These two chetas remain inaccessible. Oh, that is for this next one. Okay, now the next one, the next box is what? Sense sphere, beautiful consciousness associated with knowledge, jnana sampayuta. Four. And one, abhinya. Kusala abhinya. Abhinya means fifth jhana. So abhinya is taken as only one here. So there are altogether five chetas in this group. So kama, vachara, sobhana, kusala accompanied by jnana and abhinya. Kusala abhinya. So five. They can take 87 chetas. That means all chetas except arahata magga and arahata phala. And 52 chetasikas, 28 rupas, nibbana, and panyati. Almost all objects they can take. The only thing they cannot take are only two, and they are arahata magga cheta and arahata phala cheta. Now, if you look at the chetas on the left side, they are kusala cheta, only kusala cheta, right? So, they do not arise in arahants. They arise in putujanas and sotapannas, sagadagamis, and anagamis only, right? So, the consciousness arising in putujanas, sotapannas, sagadagamis, and anagamis cannot take the mind of an arahant as an object. That is why arahata magga and arahata phala chetas are left out. A putujana cannot take the mind of, arahant as an object. And also, Isodabana, Sagadagami, and Anagami cannot take the mind of an arahant as object. Now, why? Because simply they have not attained these chetas. If they have attained these chetas, they might be able to take those chetas as object. Since they have not yet attained them, they cannot take them as objects. So that means a putujana cannot take the sotapatti magga and sotapatti phala cheta as object, simply because he has not attained. And what about sotapanna? Can he take the Sakadagami Magga and Phala as object? No. So, lower noble persons cannot take the consciousnesses of higher noble persons. But higher noble persons can take the consciousnesses of lower noble persons. And here also, take as object means immediately after the enlightenment thought process. Immediately after enlightenment, there arise in the mind of those who have enlightened the thought process called reflection thought process. So after the enlightenment thought process, the reflection thought processes arise in those noble persons. And they are the reflection of Magga, reflection of phala fruition, reflection of Nibbana, reflection of mental defilements which have been eradicated, and reflection on the kilis, mental defilements that are remaining. So there are these five kinds of reflection thought processes arising following the enlightenment thought processes. These types of consciousness, kama, vasara, somana, accompanied by jnana, accompanied by panya, arise in those thought processes. So, in those thought processes, these kama, vachara, kusala, accompanied by jnana, arise, and they can take one's own magga as object, one's own phala as object, nibbana as object, and then mental defilements as object. So, the kama vachara kusala that are accompanied by jnana can take altogether 87 chetas and 52 chetasikas, 28 rupas, nibbana, and panyati. Now, kusala abhinya. Abhinya means direct knowledge or supernormal knowledge. Now, abhinya is a name for fifth jhana, actually. So, if a person wants to get the abhinya, he must have already attained five jhanas, actually attained all nine jhanas. And then he practiced again and so he attains the supernormal knowledges. Among the supernormal knowledges, there is one by which a person can know the consciousness of another person. Now, we say reading other people's mind, right? Now, when we read other people's mind, we do not really see their mind. We do not really know their mind, but we just make conclusions from say what one seems to be thinking. So, say if you may see a man's face red and something like that, you say he is angry. So that is by inference and not by direct seeing his mind, but by the abhinya, they can see or they can take the mind or the consciousness of another person as object. That is a difference. So abhinya is direct seeing, but what we do when we say I read his mind means just say coming to conclusion by inference. So that kind of abhinya, if a person attains that abhinya knowledge, then he can take the consciousness of another person as object. So in that case, for example, a sotapanna, let's say,
is Sakadagami. So is Sakadagami, if he has attained Abhinya also, then he will be able to take the Magga Chitta of other persons, other Sakadagamis and Sotapannas as object. But we Puttojanas cannot. Puttojanas cannot take the Magga Chittas of any noble person as object. But when one has become a Sotapanna and one attains Abhinya, then with that Abhinya, he can take the Sotapatti Magga consciousness of other persons. So that is the difference. And then Nibbana. Nibbana can be taken by, say, Kamaujara, Sovana, Jnana, Sambhyuta, Kusala 4, and so Kusala Abhinya. Now, do Kamavajra Kusala, right? Kamavajra Kusala, accompanied by Jnana, arise in us, in our minds? Do we have these four types of consciousness? Yes, sometimes no, right? Then, can we take Nibbana as object? Huh? Yes or no? Since we have never attained, we have never realized Nibbana, we cannot take Nibbana as object. So, Kamavajra Kusala, accompanied by Jnana, although they arise in worldlings, they cannot take Nibbana as object. Only those who have attained enlightenment can Nibbana as object. So sometimes we may make a wish, right? May I attain Nibbana, right? And say, I want to attain Nibbana, so I do this meritorious deed, or I practice meditation. And so my mind is set on attainment of Nibbana. But that Nibbana is not the real Nibbana. That Nibbana is just a concept, actually. Something that they say is Nibbana, and I want to go there, something like that. I want to attain it. So, the Nibbana, the ordinary persons or worldling or Puttojanas are said to take is not the real Nibbana. Okay, then Panyati is easy. Panyati is concepts. So concepts can be taken by these types of consciousness. Now the next box is Kamavajara, beautiful, associated with knowledge, functional. So kriya. Kamavajara kriya, accompanied by jnana. How many of them are there? There are four, right? And then, abhinya kriya. That means, rupavajara kriya, 5. And then 1, mind or adverting, Ottapanna, altogether 6. They take all objects as object. That means they can take all objects as objects. All objects means 89 jhetas, 52 jhetasikas, 28 rupas, and then Nibbana and Panyati. Here also, not every functional kama vajra somana, functional consciousness accompanied by jnana, can take all objects. It is only the jnana sambhyuta kriya consciousness that arises in the Buddhas. So only the Buddhas can know everything. So for others, it cannot take all objects as object. And kriya abhinya, that is abhinya arising in the Buddhas and Arahants. So kriya abhinyas also can take all types of consciousness all Chittisikas, all Rupa, Nibbana, and Panyati. Now here, Arahata Magga and Arahata Phala are also included in the objects. That is because Jnana Sampayutta Kriya. Now, for example, a person becomes an Arahant. So, immediately after the enlightenment thought process, there are, again, reflection thought processes. When reflection thought processes arises, he is already an Arahant. So, in that case, Kriya Chaitas arise there, not Kusala Chaitas. So that Kriya Chaita arising in the reflection thought process can take Arahata Magga as object, Arahata Phala as object. So here, they are not accepted. They are also taken. So there are altogether 89 Chaitas and so on, taken by these six types of consciousness. And then Vottabhana. It is very strange, right? Vottabhana is not accompanied by Jnana. Right? Vottabhana belongs to what type, what group? Ahiduka group, rootless, right? But it is said here that it can take all objects. That means it can take Nibbana as object. Right? Very strange. No or yes? since it is in the book, it is yes. Yeah? Now, please do not be misled by the name Vottabhana. Right? Vottabhana is what? Manodwara Vajana. And Manodwara Vajana arises in which door? Which sense door? Mind door, right? When it does the function of adverting, it arises in mind door, right? When it functions as determining, it arises in five sense doors, right? So here, it is arising through mind door. So when it arises through mind door, or when it arises in the mind door thought process, it is adverting. So since it can precede the Buddha's consciousness, Buddha's, say, all-knowing wisdom consciousness. For example, Buddha wants to know something, right? Then Buddha can know everything. So when Buddha knows something, there is this mind or thought process. So in that mind or thought process, the first active chaita is mind or adverting. So since every type of consciousness in one thought process must take the same object, Manodvara Vajana can take the same object as all-knowing wisdom. So, although Vottabhana or what? Or mind or adverting. Mind or adverting is mentioned here, we must understand that not any or every mind or adverting can take all objects. Only that which precedes the all-knowing thought, all-knowing wisdom thought process. Okay, the others are easy. Second and fourth, Arupa Vachara Chaitas. What are the second and fourth Arupa Vachara Chaitas? Two from Kusala, two from Vibhaka, and two from Kriya, right? So the second Chaita is, the Pali name of the second Chaita is what? Vinyanancayatana, let's say infinite consciousness, right? And the fourth, neither perception nor non-perception. So these chaitas take Mahagata objects as object, sublime objects as objects. Sublime here or Mahagata here means just the first Arupa Vajra Chaita and the third Arupa Vajra Chaita. If you remember the first chapter, now there are four Arupa Vajra Kusalas first, right? So the first one takes what as object? Infinite space, right? And the second takes first consciousness as object. Third takes absence of first consciousness as object. And the fourth takes the third Arupa Vajra consciousness as object, right? So please remember that. Again, first Arupa Vajra consciousness, what is its object? Infinite space. Second Arupa Vajra consciousness, the object of second Arupa Vajra consciousness is first Arupa Vajra consciousness. The object of third Arupa Vajra consciousness is absence of first Arupa Vajra consciousness. And the object of fourth Arupa Vajra consciousness is the third Arupa Vajra consciousness. So the object of the second and the fourth is respectively first Arupa Vajra consciousness and third Arupa Vajra consciousness. All Arupa Vajra consciousness and all Rupa Vajra consciousness are called what? Mahagata, right? Sublime. But here, Mahagata means, in this context, Mahagata means not all Mahagata Chaitas, because there are how many Mahagata Chaitas? How many sublime Chaitas? 27. 15 Rupa Vajras and 12 Arupa Vajras. But here Mahagata means, or sublime means, only first and third. So three first consciousnesses and three third consciousnesses. Only six of them here. So the chapters are all interrelated. So your first chapter helps you to understand here, and then you have to understand some of the chaitas and objects mentioned here with reference to thought processes, and also with reference to the rebirth consciousness and so on. So all are interconnected. Okay, next one is form sphere consciousness, Rupa Vajra consciousness 15, and then first and third Arupa Vajra consciousness 6, altogether 21. So these 21 chaitas take panyati, concepts, as object. So Rupa Vajra chaitas take concepts as object. First and third Arupa Vajra chaitas take concepts as object, right? What are the concepts? You don't know? You do. Yeah? So, now turn to page 142. Now, those are the objects. I mean, those are the concepts. Now, what do you call these perpendicular columns? So, kasina 10. That means kasina signs. So they are concepts. And then, foulness 10. That means loathsomeness of the body. So they are 10. And then body. That means head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, and so on. 32 parts of the body. And then breath. And then beings. That means all beings. The objects of metta, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. So beings of metta, beings of karuna, compassion, beings, objects of mudita, joy, and beings, objects of equanimity, upekkha. So there are four kinds of beings here. And then infinite space. This is also a concept, and nothingness of the first type of first Arupa Vajra consciousness. This is also a concept. So there are said to be altogether how many concepts? 28 types of concepts. Kasina concepts, 10. Foulness concepts, 10. Body concept, that means head hair, body hair, and so on, 1. Breath concept, 1. Being concept, actually 4, right? But each one for metta, karuna, mudita, and upekkha. And then infinite space and nothingness of the of first Arupa Vajra consciousness. Now, the first jhana, there are three first jhana chetas. Three first jhana chetas take 25 concepts as object. Those are kasina 10, foulness 10, body 1, breath 1, beings of metta, karuna, and mudita. So 25. Then second jhana. The objects of second jhana are only 14 concepts. 10 kasina concepts, breath, and three kinds of beings. The foulness concepts and body concepts are said to be so gross that the consciousness needs vitakka to keep it on these objects. When the current is too strong, you need to pull, say, to keep the boat steadily. So in the same way, these objects are gross objects. The foulness of the body, you look at the corpse and then festering or, say, blood oozing out of the body and so on. So they are so gross that you need vitakka to keep your mind on these objects. So those that are not vitakka cannot take them as objects. That is why second jhana chitta cannot take foulness concept and body concept as objects. So 25 minus 11, 14 concepts. And the third jhana, the three third jhana chaitas can take also these 14, and the fourth jhana also these 14. Now, fifth jhana can take only 12 types of concepts. Kasina concepts, breath concepts, and being concept for equanimity. And then, first Arupa Vajra jhana consciousness takes infinite space as object, only one. And third Arupa Vajra jhana consciousness takes nothingness of the first Arupa Vajra jhana consciousness as object. So, they take only one kind of concept. So, when in the last diagram, it says, say, these 21 types of consciousness take concepts, we must understand in detail according to this this diagram, table number 3.6. So there are altogether 25, 26, 27, 28 types of concepts, and a number of them are taken by first jhana, second jhana, and so on. So altogether, those that take panyati only as objects are 21. 15 Rupa Vajra Chetas and first and third Arupa Vajra Chetas. Now we come to the last one. Lokottara Chaitanya is 8. Or 40 here. They take Nibbana as object. That's easy, right? Now, supramundane types of consciousness take Nibbana as object. In order to familiarize ourselves with these objects, and then and particular types of consciousness taking particular types of objects, we have to go through it again and again. It's not easy. And first, we divide objects into four kinds. We'll do just that. There are many, many others, but it will become too complicated. So four kinds of objects. Kama vajra object, rupa vajra object, arupa vajra object, and lokottara, supramundane object. Or we can add one more. Concepts. Say, let's say five, right? Kama vajra object, rupa vajra object, arupa vajra object, lokottara object, and concepts. Now, rupa vajra object and arupa vajra object are called mahagata object. So, kama vajra object, mahagata object, lokottara object, concept object. Okay. Now, if you look at the table number 3.5. Chakku vijnana takes what as object? Kama vajra or mahagata or lokottara or concept? Kama vajra as object. So, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness. They take kama vajra objects as objects. Now, what are kama vajra objects? Kama vajra, 54 kama vajra chedas, 52 chedasikas, and 28 rupas. They are called kama vajra objects, right? I didn't tell you that, right? So, what are kama vajra objects? 54 kama vajra chedas, 52 chedasikas, 28 rupas. They are called kama vajra objects. And what are mahagata objects, sublime objects? Here in this context, first arupa vajra jhana consciousness, and third arupa vajra jhana consciousness. They are called mahagata here. And lokottara object means, say, let us call it here nirvana. Actually, lokottara chaitas are also included in lokottara object, so nirvana object. And then concepts, there are 28 types of concepts, right? Okay, let's go back to the chart. So eye consciousness takes what object as object? Kama vajra objects as object, because visible object is one of the 28 rupas. Similarly, ear consciousness, no consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness. They take kama vajra objects as object, right? Okay, mind element takes kama vajra objects as object. And then 12 types of consciousness, kama vajra. And then 20 types of consciousness, kama vajra, mahagata, and concepts, right? Yeah. And then 5 types of consciousness, next group. Kama vajra, mahagata, let's say nibbana, right? Nibbana and panyati. And then 6 types of consciousness. right? All means all jetas, all jetasikas, all rupas, nibbana, and concepts. And then next six, only mahagata as object. And then 21 types of consciousness, concepts. And Lokottara, 8 types of consciousness, take nibbana as object, right? Now, are you familiar with this now? Let's see. Those that take Kama Vajra object only as object, they must not take Kama Vajra and Mahagata or Kama Vajra and Lokottara and so on. They must take only Kama Vajra object as object. How many? Look at the chart. Two, 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 right? 3, 12. Altogether, 25, right? So these 25 take Kama Vajra objects only as objects. No Mahagata objects, no Lokottara objects, no concepts, right? And then Mahagata only as object. Those that take Mahagata only as object. 6. They are second and fourth Arupa Vajra consciousness. Those that take Nibbana only as object. Those that take concepts only as object. 21, right? Those that take Nibbana only as object. 8. Then, those that take Kama Vajra object as object, that means both Kama Vajra and others. 9. Among the Lokiya Chaitas, are there Kama Vajra objects? Yes, right? Among Lokiya Chaitas, there are 54 Kama Vajra Chaitas. So, against 20, mundane Chaita 11 and so on. So, Kama Vajra objects are included there, right? And then, 87 Chaitas, Kama Vajra, included there. Mahagata, no Kama Vajra. Panyati, no Kama Vajra. Nibbana, no Kama Vajra. So those that take Kama Vajra as objects, how many? Five plus six, right? So these 31 types of consciousness take Kama Vajra and others as object. But the other 25 take Kama Vajra only as object. Now you see this? Those that take Kama Vajra only as object, those that take Kama Vajra and others as object. Right? So, those that take Kama Vajra only as object, how many? 25, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3, 12. Those that take Kama Vajra also as object, that means they may take others also. They are 20, 5, 6. Right? Okay. Those that take Mahagata only as object, 6. Those that take Mahagata as object, the objects may include Kama Vajra also, right? Now against 20, look at it. There is Rupa, Lokiya Jetas, right? So there is Mahakata there, right? And then among 87 Jetas, there are Mahakata Jetas. And among 89 Jetas, there are Mahakata Jetas. So, those that take Mahakata also as object, 20 plus 5 plus 6. Those that take Nibbana also as object, Nibbana and others. Five, six, right? 11. Good. Then those that take Panyati, let's say, Panyati only as object, 21, right? Those that take Panyati as object, I mean concepts as object, 31, 20 plus 5 plus 6, right? Okay. It's a little confusing. There are many more. But I will not make you more confused. So, I think this table, the table number 3.5 and 3.6, you have to make yourself very familiar with them, or at least you must be able to find out, looking at these tables, what chaitas take what kinds of objects, and say what kind of concepts are taken by what types of consciousness. So, chitta is never without an object, right? The very nature of chitta, the very characteristic of chitta is to be aware of the object. So it must have an object. And so whenever chitta arises, it must have an object. And so, by this section, we understand which types of objects are taken by which types of consciousness, or which types of consciousness take which types of objects. And they are very clearly defined here. Say, eye consciousness takes only present visible object, ear consciousness take only present audible object, and so on. Those that arise through five sense door thought processes. So for them, there is no difficulty, because they take only present five objects as objects. But for those that arise through mind door thought processes, through mind door, there are a lot. It's very, very wide and very complicated. But, we will just note here that the object of those types of consciousness that arise through mind or everything, all objects. So they can be six kinds of objects, and they can belong to three times, and also they can belong to no time at all. Now, with regard to Nibbana and Panyati, Nibbana and Panyati are called independent of time. So Nibbana is not present, not past, not future. And concept is not present, not past, and not future. So these two, Nibbana and Panyati or concept, are said to be we call timeless. Timeless means free from time. We cannot assign any time to them. And why is that? Nibbana is, say, outside time, because its intrinsic nature is without arising, without continuation, and without passing away. Nibbana has no arising. That is why there is no disappearing for Nibbana. That is why Nibbana is called timeless. So we cannot say when Nibbana arises. If we say Nibbana arises or Nibbana exists, then we imply that Nibbana is impermanent. But Nibbana must go away, right? Because when there is an arising, there must be a disappearing. That is law of nature. So Nibbana is called Kala Vimoda, independent of time, because it has no arising, no continuation or change, and no disappearing. And concepts are timeless because they are devoid of intrinsic nature. Now concepts have no characteristic of their own, no intrinsic nature of their own. Now we call a person a man, right? What we call a man is a concept. It is not ultimate reality. And that concept has no intrinsic nature. Because if we analyze a man, then we will end up with five aggregates. Or to reduce him to the smallest particles, then just material properties and chetas and chetasikas. So what are real in a man are just rupa, cheta, and chetasika. What we call a man or a woman is just a designation. It's just for the ease of use. So concepts have no intrinsic nature of their own. And so we cannot say a concept arises at this time and then it disappears at another time. Since we cannot say like that with regard to concepts, concepts are also regarded as timeless. The concept may be forgotten by people, but it does not mean that it has disappeared altogether, because at another time it may appear again. Now the name Sumedha, the name of the hermit, say, who aspired for Buddhahood, right? He aspired for Buddhahood for incalculable and 100,000 eons ago. Billions of years ago, let us say. And then in the time between, his name was forgotten. Then nobody knew about him. Then Gautama Buddha appeared. And then Gautama Buddha taught us that there was a hermit called Sumedha, how many eons ago. And so Gautama Buddha sort of revived that Panyati. So that Panyati, actually that Panyati does not exist, but we cannot say that Panyati has disappeared altogether. At one time it can come back, because it has no intrinsic nature, no nature of its own, no characteristic of its own, and so concepts are also called timeless. So Nibbana and concept are timeless. Chaita, Chaitasika, and Rupa belong to time. So they can be past or present or future. Now what about Mahagata? Second and fourth Arupa Vajra Chaitas take Mahagata as object, right? Mahagata here means first and third Arupa Vajra Chaitas respectively. Okay, let's take an example. Second Arupa Vajra Chaita. It takes first Arupa Vajra Chaita as object, right? Now, what is that first Arupa Vajra Chaita as an object there? Is it present, or is it past, or is it future? It is past. Only after you get first Arupa Vajra Jhana can you attain second Arupa Vajra Jhana, right? So you, after attaining first Arupa Vajra Jhana, you try to attain second Arupa Vajra Jhana. You practice meditation to attain second Arupa Vajra Jhana, right? So when you practice meditation, you take the first Arupa Vajra Jhana as object. So at that time, first Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness is already past. So the objects of second Arupa Vajra Chaitas and fourth Arupa Vajra Chaitas, the past, not present, not future, right? Yeah. So Chaitas, Chaitasikas and Rupas belong to either present or past or future. So we can say it takes a present object as object, or past object as object, or future object as object. But with regard to Panyati, we cannot say it is present or past or future. And with regard to Nirvana also, we cannot say whether it is present or past or future. So they are beyond this time frame. So please read the manual. And if you do not clearly understand the manual, just wait until you reach the fifth chapter. Okay, any questions?
Okay, if the object in the on the Dorshri consciousness, if the object starts with the Patisandhi, and then it's the same for the Bhavanga, and then it passes to the Chuti.
Yes.
And then the following Patisandhi, doesn't that take the same as the previous?
No.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It seems to say that. Right?
No. Huh? In order to understand this, you have to see the diagram of dying thought process. We do not have yet that diagram, right? Mm-hmm. So,
can I read? It says on page 138, middle of the page, the object of the door-free consciousness in any given existence is generally identical with the object of the last cognitive process in the immediately preceding existence.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's the same object from the
Chuti. No. You confuse Chuti and then Jhavanas. Right? Previous to Chuti, there are Jhavanas. You have to see that thought process. There are sense no adverting, and then seeing consciousness, let us say, and then receiving, investigating, determining, and jhavanas, five jhavanas, and there may or may not be dadaramana, and then chuti. So that chuti takes the object taken by the rebirth, right? The first consciousness in that life. But next rebirth takes the object of jhavanas, not object of chuti. So they are different, right?
Yeah?
Is there a diagram? But my diagram is much, much better. What are my diagrams?
Yeah?
Oh, page 225? Okay, please look at page 225 there. Let us see. All right. Now, this is the same as mine. Now, you see, right? Old life, right? Old life ends with DH, death. And immediately after it, rebirth, right? So from there, a new life begins. So old life or life number one, and new life, life number two. So the object of rebirth is the object taken by the jhavanas previous to it. I mean, not immediately previous to it. And the object of death is the same as, you see the dots there at the beginning of the line? Or another black line, darker line. Oh, there, up there. Right. So above death, you see old object, right? So that old object is the same as the old object on the left. Right? So the object of death is the same as the object of Patisanti there. But the object of Patisanti and the new life is not the same, right? So it takes the object taken by jhavanas. So there is difference of objects from death in one life and rebirth in another life. But in one life, the object of rebirth, Bhavanga and Durya, is the same.
That makes more sense. Otherwise, one life would just...
Yeah, only one object will go on and on and on. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. So when we study the death thought process at the end of the fifth chapter, we'll come to this again.
In the book say the my element, the triple my element.
Yes.
That means two receiving and one final activity.
Yes.
On the idol, three chitta not go to the my dog, but why we call them the triple my element? Why they have the name like that? You know why they call my no that too? But if not go to, it not come to my dog, the tree. I don't know why they put it triple.
No. You confuse mind door with mind.
Yeah.
Here it is a mind element, not mind door element, right? And it is just a name for these three types of consciousness, you know, because if you look at the two words separately, the Pali word mano means consciousness, right? And then dhatu means just the element. So actually, mano dhatu can mean all types of consciousness. But in Abhidhamma usage, Manodhatu, the name Manodhatu is restricted to only these three types of consciousness. Only these three types of consciousness are called Manodhatu. Because when